Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, and welcome back to When in Romance, where we get to talk about all things romance novels, people who read them, write them, love them, not particularly hate them. We don't want to talk about those people. I am Jess, and we are recording on Tuesday, October 25th, 2022, and I have a special familiar friend guest person. Jen Northington is with us today. Say
Yay.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. I haven't been on When in Romance in a hot minute. It's been, I think I maybe did one with Trisha while you were away, possibly. Maybe not. I don't remember. Anyway, the point is I always love coming on the show. So thank you for having me.
And I am very grateful, and I love having you on the show because that means we get to talk twice in a week.
That's right. That's right, because we do Read Harder together now, so I get to talk to Jess all the time. Be Always. Jealous of me. A quick reminder about our awesome new book, Reading the Stars. This is book recommendations based on your astrology sign and whether you know your birth chart by heart or just getting curious. It's totally accessible. It's also really beautiful. It would make a great gift, I am just saying. And through today, when you are listening to this, there is still a giveaway running. You can get Reading the Stars and some really cool swag from our partner, Obvious State. And there will be a link to the giveaway in the show notes. So check it out.
So we don't have any particular follow-ups or anything. So we're going to start with our new opener. We have come to realize, Trisha and I, that sometimes we don't talk about everything that we're reading, but we do want to talk about what we're reading. So, Jen, what are you reading?
So, in terms of romance, because this is a romance show, I figured I should talk about a romance. I'm always reading like 16 books at a time, for the record. Mm-hmm. So, but romance-wise, I just got, and this is all your fault, actually. I just bought What the Hex by Alexis Daria, which recently was released. It started off as like an Audible original that was only in audio, but now you can get the ebook. And I don't audiobook. I don't absorb information that is only available through my ears very well. Mm-hmm. Like, my brain just can't hold on to it. So I bought the ebook. I'm so excited. I'm saving it for Halloween weekend because, like, obviously it's about witches and romance. Like, obviously I'm saving it for Halloween. So, which is going to be the day that y'all hear this. So perfect timing. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Yeah. Well, I am technically not yet reading this book, but I just got Hiding in the Smoke by Ophelia Martinez on Libby. Like, it just came in a couple hours ago, so I'm looking forward to sitting down with it. It is a rock star romance. And, you know, you've got, like, the commitment phobic bartender and the super popular international rock star, and they meet and they clash and all of that. And I'm very much looking forward to reading it. I found out about it from Book Talk, so I'm hoping that they don't let me down, but it sounds amazing, so I'm sure it'll be great.
It's a great title.
Yeah. I find a lot of good titles that I just, they stay titles because I don't get to them.
Truest story.
It's like, I don't know what this book is going to be about, but it's a great title. But this one I'm hoping to actually, like, sit down and read, probably on the plane tomorrow.
There you go.
If you're listening to this on Monday, I will be yet again on a plane. So either end, I will be reading it. We'll see. So that's what we're reading right now. And before we talk about some fun and interesting stuff about romance and all of that, let's pause for an ad spot.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her soul family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden. And thanks again to W.W. Norton & Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so we hadn't been doing many news and notables recently, in part because all of the new stuff that was happening wasn't fun to talk about. And sometimes it was the same conversation that we had been having over and over. And, you know, after a few years, you don't want to tell people about Nazis.
Right.
But today we get to talk about something that is kind of ridiculous considering the fact that it's the end of October.
Oh my God,
and there's
still
2 months left in the year. But the best sub lists are starting up, and there are actually romance books appearing on those best of lists.
Yay!
And we're not even talking about Colleen Hoover. I mean, she's appearing on those lists. But, like, romance novels, real romance novels with HEAs and everything are showing up on these lists. And it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, I love how we are seeing them across outlets. Like, we've got bookmarks here for Publishers Weekly, NPR, and Barnes & Noble, all of whom, like, for the record, have really jumped the gun by releasing their best of 2022 in October. As far as I'm concerned, that's way too early. But I've only read, I think, one of the books that are on here. I'm the worst this year. I am so far behind on my reading of books that have come out in 2022. I don't know what happened to me, but it's romance. I mean, any genre, I'm just like 1,000 feet behind. So that's fine. So I've read one of the books that are on these lists for in the romance category. But I am pretty excited to have some of these titles bounced up on my lists that I will someday get to. So there's that.
Yes. And I too have read a very limited number of books that are appearing on these lists. Sometimes I might have started them and then gotten distracted by other things, even if I wasn't not enjoying the books. Like, I will tell you now, listeners, I told you about that time in What Are You Reading? When I was reading The Dead Romantics. I still have not finished that book. Do you know how long ago that was? And do you know how excited I was about a ghost romance? And do you know how much I love Ashley Poston as a writer? Mm. And yet, I still not finished that book. But I'm going to.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
I appreciate it. So anyway, we are very excited that the people who are putting together best of lists are remembering that romance exists, especially because romance has exploded in the past few years, and to leave them out of these lists would just be detrimental to any list that you were creating.
100%. 100%. The one book that I have read that I was really glad to see on PW's best books list is Partners in Crime by Alicia Rye, which I loved. I devoured that book, y'all. Like, it is a really fantastic mashup of genres. Like, it's bills itself as a rom-com, but it actually has some, like, pretty intense peril. Like, it's a kidnapping and, like, heist caper, you know, on the run from mobsters situation. And it is so good. It's so good. I loved it. And it's not at all my usual romance fare. So it's, you know, just speaks to the genius of Rye and her ability to pull these things off.
That's good to know, because I actually started listening to that, too, while I was doing laundry yesterday. So I'm only like half an hour into it. But the audiobook is very good if audiobooks are a thing you do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally agree. It's delightful so far, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing more.
Nice. Nice. Let's see. I do feel like Jasmine Guillory's Drunken Love is definitely on my top of my list of books I do want to. I'm actually going to talk about Jasmine Guillory later anyway, so that works out well.
Yeah. And there is probably not a list around that doesn't have book lovers on it, because as Annika Baranti Klein will say, it is the best book ever. And I am bound to agree.
It's on my list. It got so much hype, though. I was like, I have to wait on this one, because what if I don't like it? I'm gonna feel horrible.
Well, that's another one of those that was legitimately like, I need an audiobook to listen to, and I happen to have the audiobook. And Julia Whalen, who is a fantastic narrator, narrates, I think, all of Emily Henry's stuff. And it was the first Emily Henry book that I have actually, like, picked up to read. Mm. And it was, like, you know, there are things that people have issues with, but it was amazing. Like, I totally get the Emily Henry hype now.
Nice. Well, that's good to know.
Well, we could probably talk about best of lists for an entire episode. And I'm going to tell you, Trisha and I will probably do that at the end of the year.
Do that. Do that thing.
or the beginning of next year. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Jen, you and I decided to talk about something that gets a lot of attention towards this time of year, and that is holiday romance.
Yeah. So can we talk for a second about, like, okay, so we're on record as saying that October is too soon for, you know, best of lists. Christmas romances come out in, like, August or September. Like, I started getting promotional emails for those in, like, June. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, what is happening to me right now? Why is this happening? Why? Like, I get that you want to have them out in time for the holidays, but, like, it just seems really early to me.
It is. And, like, I feel like part of it must be a marketing thing. Yeah. Like, let's get them out so people buy them and they're ready to sit down and read them after Thanksgiving. And then, of course, now, like, Christmas stuff is out at Costco.
Yeah.
I was at Costco 3 weeks ago and Christmas stuff was out. So Christmas is just starting earlier and earlier. So these books are going to start releasing earlier and earlier.
I object.
And I know, and I know when we say holiday romance, there are other holidays, yes, but it seems like Christmas is the thing.
This was my question for you. It's like, what do you think it is specifically about? Because, you know, we both did some research for this, quote unquote research. Yeah. On like trying to find like, okay, I can hit, you know, 50 Christmas romances with a rock from my chair and at my desk. But like, there are other holidays in the world. Why do you think it is that Christmas is like the, everybody writes like a Christmas holiday romance?
Well, like, there's something about, like, even if you're not, like, religious, there's something about the season of giving and brotherhood and all of that that, like, makes people want to be warm and cozy and read about people celebrating Christmas with each other or getting their one Christmas wish. It's why, like, Netflix posted that thing however many years ago. It's like, whoever watched The Christmas Prince 67 times, are you okay?
I'm right. I'm like, about that. Classic.
These Christmas romances are our Christmas Prince, and we don't have to watch that one story 57 times because we have 57 of them to read this that are just released this year.
You make a compelling argument.
Because, you know, like, they're just like Hallmark and Lifetime, I think, both have like the holiday pass. Like, you can get like a 3-month subscription to Hallmark to just watch the Christmas movies.
Oh my gosh.
And because there's something about them, and, you know, they are, and they're even more formulaic than romance in general.
Right, which is saying something.
But, you know, everyone is different, except maybe, like, the ones, like, there are, like, 5 authors, and they're all older white ladies, which I have nothing against, but, like, they write at least one Christmas novel every year.
Yeah.
And it's on top of, you know, the other 3 novels that they write a year. And it's just, like, I get if you follow one of those authors, and you're like, it's time for the Lori Wilde Christmas novel this year. But then it's like, do you read all of them? Like, I did not sit down and count how many novels just Christmas that are coming out this year, but I'll bet it's at least 50.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I have a special filter set up on Edelweiss. I discovered you could filter by holiday romance in there, which was like, so Edelweiss, for those who don't know, is like a, you know, reviewers and industry people place to check on publisher catalogs, and you can filter across publishers, which is very useful, especially when you're doing research for shows like this. So I was like, let me filter for like this year. And there's like a drop down under romance. You can sort by subgenre. And I clicked on holiday and it was more than 50. Like, it was more than 50 for the record. So
I think there's just 50 from Harlequin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, people must buy them because they wouldn't publish so many if they weren't going to sell. So clearly y'all are out there purchasing these. I would love, Jess, if people like write in, I would love to hear what people have to say about specifically Christmas romances.
Yes. So if you have thoughts about Christmas romances, we want to hear, because like, I like a good Christmas romance. I read a lot last year because I did a panel with 4 Christmas romance authors.
Well, fun.
So I read at least 4. Right. And, you know, like, I like looking through the Harlequin page because I like supporting certain authors. And, you know, just like, his Christmas surprise, her Christmas baby. Like, I love Harlequins. Like, I don't read them as much as I buy them. But I buy them with the intent of actually someday reading them.
Oh, of
because
course.
They very often tell you exactly what they're about. So it's like, that's exactly what I need right now. And the Christmas ones across all of the categories. His Amish Christmas surprise. Her Amish suspense baby. Like, it's...
Right.
You can get anything you want except for something not Christmas.
Right. That's right. that's so okay. So let's talk about, we did find other holidays. There are other holiday romances that exist in the world. So like Sarah Kuhn's Heroine Complex series, which I am like a diehard fan of for the record, mm-hmm. has both Halloween and Christmas books in it. So like, you know, she's out here like doing the thing, which I super appreciate. Because how many paranormal holiday romances do you see? Not that many, for the record.
That's not true. That many. That's legit. Yeah.
Oh, and also, though, speaking of paranormal Halloween, Mating the Huntress by Talia Hibbert, I think was the first Halloween romance I ever read. Yes.
I love that book. I love that book so much.
So good. So good.
So good. I love it. Yeah. And I went in search of Halloween romances one year. And, you know, sometimes you find things like Halloween Boo or something like that. Last year, I read Trick and Treat, which are two, like, novelettes. I don't think either of them is more than, like, 30 pages or something like that, by Shea Sanders. And I gotta tell you, the indie authors are out there supporting us on our need during the other holidays. Because Halloween, like, everybody that I love in indie author land had just a really short little thing that I could snack on. Like, I think Nicole Falls wrote one, and I mean, if you listen to me, you know who I talk about in Indie Land.
Yeah.
But And there was also Pumpkin Pounder, which was hilarious.
What a name!
And it was also very short. But yes, what a name indeed. Oh, gosh. Yeah, if you're looking for a little chunky things, then you can get a holiday. And I feel like I have to take back my Harlequin Doesn't Do Anything Besides Christmas, because Roan Parrish's second gay romance published by Harlequin, the first was a Christmas, the second one is a fall one, and I feel like it's Halloween. The Rivals of Casper Lane, I feel like the whole thing is that they're battling over Halloween decorations.
Nice.
But I haven't read that one yet, because we've been talking about that.
Right. Yes. I love Roan Parrish. I definitely will put this on my list. So I think that's all the Halloween I have. I tried to find other things, and apparently there are some 4th of July romances. Sort of. There are romances that have 4th of July in them. I don't know that that's actually the same thing as being a 4th of July romance, but Scatter of Light by Melinda Lowe, who we love, right? We love some Melinda Lowe. And apparently also Beach Read by Emily Henry. This is another Emily Henry that everybody's obsessed with. Apparently 4th of July is in there too. So there you go. 4th of July representation.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you because I haven't read that one. But, oh, you reminded me, Erin McClellan, who is also the queen of novellas. Hers are a little longer than Trick and Treat, but Holiday Novellas has a 4th of July one. It's called Bottle Rocket.
Cute.
She has a Valentine's Day one. I think her first one is New Year's Eve. So it's like New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, 4th of July. I don't think there's a Labor Day one, but there might be a fall holiday one. I can't remember. But yeah, she writes fun stuff. Her Valentine's Day one, Candy Hearts, is adorable. And also very, very sexy. Like, go in for the adorbs, stay for the very sexy bits.
Sold. Yeah, you found, are there a lot of, you would think there would be a lot of Valentine's Day romances, because obviously, but I don't think I've ever read one.
I've read like three.
Okay.
And you would think that there would be so many more. Yeah. And all of the ones that I've read are indie published.
Huh.
So my favorite is Just One More by Jody Slaughter. And it's my favorite Jody Slaughter book. I've read a few of hers. And it's Valentine's Day. These two people end up getting in the same Uber, and then they decide to like spend the day together. And it's just, it's so quiet and sweet, and they're just chill, and it's delightful. I really enjoyed that one. And I mentioned Candy Hearts.
Yeah, which... sounds great.
And then Jackie Lau has another one of those who wrote a whole holiday series. She's Canadian, so her Thanksgiving one is set in October, but her series ends with Valentine's Day. So she's got Canadian Thanksgiving, Christmas, Lunar New Year, and Valentine's Day. And I don't think I missed one in the middle there. I think there's only four.
I love that, though. That's what a great concept.
Right? It's just like one family... all of, like, this brief amount of time, a very matchmaking grandma who wants to make sure all of the kids are set up. And, yeah, it's adorable. It's a great little series.
I love a meddling grandma. That's just, Jess, you're just, like, blowing up my already blown up list. I mean, what else do I expect at this point from you? Nothing. Nothing else. This is what I expect. Let's see. Oh, Hanukkah. I know of at least two. If not more. There are more. There are starting to be more. But I wanted to shout out Lighting the Flames by Sarah Wendell, which is an indie one, right? Mm-hmm. And so sweet. It also involves like summer camp, well, winter camp in this case, but summer slash winter camp. It's camp counselors. And I was just like, oh, I was a camp counselor, so I have a special place in my heart for those stories. So, and of course I have a special place in my heart for Sarah, you know, because Smart Bitches and Trashy Books was formative in my journey in coming to be a romance reader. So obviously we love Sarah Wendell. And then everybody was like in their feels about The Matzo Ball by Jean Meltzer last year. It's on my list. I didn't read it yet, but like I heard
Me
about
either.
It.
I heard a lot about it too. Yeah. And it's interesting because like there are Hanukkah books and then there are Jewish people during Christmas books.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, and
so
you know,
which one is this?
I have been educated by several of the folks in our contributor corps who are Jewish, who are like, you know, like it's not the same as Christmas. Like I know that like, you know, Christians want to think it's just like, well, it's just Jewish Christmas. It's not. Like that's not what Hanukkah is. So like,
yeah.
Y'all need to calm down. It's like, okay, I'm taking that note. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah, and oh, you just reminded me because like Hanukkah, like depending on how secular of a Jew you are, you know, Hanukkah isn't particularly the big holiday of the year.
Right.
So I was trying to think of the name of a book that I thought was a Hanukkah romance, but it's actually a Passover romance and it's called Matzo Ball Surprise.
What? That's amazing.
And it's so great. But, you know, like, how many people are going to write a book set around Passover, right?
Right.
So,
right.
And then that's not even the big, like, how many are going to write a romance set around, like, Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah, so, no doubt. No doubt.
So, just, like, branching out. And, like, because there's Love All Year, which has been doing a lot to try to make sure that more holidays are covered. Mm. And I will admit, I have not read either Love All Year collection, even though I own them both.
Right.
So there's probably some really great stuff in those set during not frequently seen holidays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of push against the Christmas thing.
Yeah.
And somebody was talking about how there aren't a lot of Thanksgiving romances, even though you would think
yes
that would be a common thing.
Yeah.
During readathon last year, I read a triplet of novelettes about family members going to the same Thanksgiving, and I don't remember the names of them all. They were all like "Thank You Next" and "Thanks Again" and that kind of thing. But they were all about the Fiennes family. And it was Christina C. Jones, Alexandra Warren, and Nicole Falls. And y'all know how I feel about all three of those writers. So I was so excited to see them drop just like a trio of books that I could sit down and read immediately.
Nice. I was just remembering that there is a Kwanzaa romance series. Who wrote it? I want to say it's, the title is like Bring on the Blessings, maybe? Or no, is that a Beverly Jenkins that I'm confusing myself? Yep, I'm confusing myself. I will find it and I will drop it in here because it was lovely and I completely forgot it until about right now. But I will find it and it'll be in the show notes.
Great, because I don't know what that is because I have spent so much of my time looking for something that is actually about Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Because there's one book that has Kwanzaa in the title that is, it's called like the Kwanzaa Brunch or something, but it turns out that it's called that because somebody's white boss decides that they're going to have Kwanzaa brunch at
work. Oh my gosh.
So it's just like, oh my gosh. But I know that I saw a description recently of a Harlequin that was set around Kwanzaa. But
yeah.
Then I went to find it and I could never find it again.
Well, I read this, so it's in my giant reading spreadsheet. So all I have to do is go back to my reading spreadsheet and find what year it was that I read it.
Yes.
It's going to happen. I'm going to put it in there. You're going to, and then you'll actually get to read it. And it was very good. I enjoyed it.
Yes, because, like, there are also, like, so many elements of that that could make, like, really great romance stories.
I feel like there was, like, maybe it was, like, a triplet sort of situation, like, three different people and who are all interrelated, obviously. And each story was, like, organized around a different, you know, value from Kwanzaa. So that was nice.
That's awesome. I feel like there was one Kwanzaa-based novella in The Green Book. Not actually titled The Green Book. I just remember that the cover was green.
Right, it was green.
Y'all love us, don't you?
Yeah, we're good at this. We're good at our jobs.
You're so good at our jobs.
Do you want to tell the people about your Solstice romance? Because now I need to read that one, too.
Oh, right. Solstice, Wanting a Witch by Lauren Connolly involves a witch and a vampire. And, you know, witch in this particular universe, witches and vampires should not be together. But there are a lot of secrets in the family, and the witch has come to apologize to the vampire and ends up staying with her for a while. And, you know, everything happens, culminates on Solstice. And it's just, it was nice to have a book set around Solstice.
Yes, I love that. Love it.
I haven't read any, like, non-paranormal Solstice book stuff.
No. So. Yeah, I was just thinking. I was like, oh, it scans that it's also paranormal. Like, the witches have Solstice sort of on lock, I guess, which is fine by me. Totally fine.
Yeah, but if you know of Solstice romances, Kwanzaa romances, any other winter holidays that aren't Christmas, 12 night romances,
oh.
We've got one Lunar New Year romance.
Right. We're trying. I've got a Diwali one that we're going to talk about shortly. So there's that. So, but yeah, it's sparse pickings.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, are there any final thoughts you want to share about the enormity of Christmas romances? Or any other holiday concepts? Did we miss any holidays that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, we missed like 1,000 holidays. What? It's a good question, though. Now, you know what I want to do is like make myself a reading challenge next year to like find a romance for as many holidays throughout the year as I can. Like, surely, for example, Dr. Martin Luther King Day, I would bet shows up in one of like Alyssa Cole's romances, right? Like it's like she's got those historicals, like maybe there's something in there. And like it wouldn't necessarily have to be, you know, in the same way that I was saying, like, well, if 4th of July shows up in it, is it a 4th of July romance? Like not necessarily, but like if I could find a romance that at least references it, if not is organized around it, for like as many romances, like how many would I get? How many would I find? I'm seriously tempted, y'all. Not that I have like time for this, but I want to do it now. It's like an advent calendar sort of, but not for advent, like for the whole year with romance. That's what I
want to do this now.
Right. Like we should do
you
it.
You have pulled me in. Let's,
yes,
we've got to at least get a spreadsheet going.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. I've already like made the spreadsheet in my head. Like it already exists basically. We're going to do it.
Perfect. Yes. Yes. Oh, well, we've talked a lot, so we're going to take another break, and then we'll get on to talking again.
Today's episode is brought to you by Penguin Young Readers. So this book I'm about to tell you about is giving Five Worlds meets Spirited Away realness. It's about a girl fighting her way back home after getting trapped in the spirit world. It follows Anzu, who has moved to a new town during Oban, a time for families to remember and celebrate their ancestors. And ever since her Alba-chan died, Oban has lost its magic. She doesn't feel much like celebrating anymore. So while avoiding holiday festivities, Anzu spots a stray dog down the street, a dog that seems to be staring right at her. So when she chases it, she slips and falls down a bridge, losing consciousness. And when she awakes, she's in the Shinto underworld known as Yomi. The stray dog, she finds out, is actually the gatekeeper of Yomi, and he warns her to return to the human realm before it's too late. Like I said, Miyazaki realness. I'm super excited for this, so make sure to pick up Anzu in the Realm of Darkness by Mai K. Nguyen. And thanks again to Penguin Young Readers for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters is an intimate portrait of two generations, a granddaughter and a grandmother, coming to terms with what it means to be family, Black women, and alive in a world on fire. In heartfelt lyrical prose, Mary Inez Hegler weaves an unforgettable story of the climate crisis, Black resistance, and the enduring power of family. Narrated by Jonice Abbott Pratt and written by climate justice writer Mary Inez Hegler, the Troubled Waters audiobook is available everywhere May 7th. It follows Corinne as she plans to stage a dramatic act of resistance and peels back the scabs of her family wounds and puts her safety in jeopardy. Both grandmother and granddaughter must bring their unspoken secrets into light to find a path to healing. Known for her essays that dissect and interrogate the climate crisis, drawing heavily on her personal experience as a Black woman with deep roots in the South, Mary Inez Hegler brings us her first work of fiction titled Troubled Waters. Make sure to pick it up. Thanks again to Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters, for sponsoring this episode.
All right, Jen. We've talked a lot about holiday books, yes. And we're going to talk about some more holiday books, but I got to tell you, as we've talked about, we haven't been reading a lot, and you know what? It's October. We shouldn't be reading a whole lot of holiday books yet.
Right.
So let's talk about holiday books that we're looking forward to hopefully, possibly getting to in the coming months before the end of the winter holidays, as it were.
Indeed. Yeah, mine are all winter holidays, not surprisingly, because that's what season it is. Here we are. I mean, Halloween notwithstanding. And So I will do the predictable thing and start off with my two Christmas romance picks, one of which is new this year, one of which is not. So I was at ALA this year for the first time ever. Side note, ALA was a lot of fun. It was also the first conference I have been to since, 2020. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. It was like a little nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. I was very well masked. But I grabbed a physical galley, which I don't usually get anymore, right? I know, I never have physical galleys of anything. But I grabbed a physical galley of A Merry Little Meet Cute, which is a collab by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone, which, like, what a combination. Right? And the premise of this book, y'all, it is about a plus-size adult film star who is, like, sort of accidentally cast as the lead in a family-friendly Christmas movie, and the former bad boy pop star who is, like, all she's gonna fall in love with. Like, I'm here for this. Like, not only are you doing a holiday romance, but you're doing a meta situation, because holiday movies are the other, as we've already talked about, like, the other big thing. So, like, you're putting a holiday movie in a holiday romance. It's like a turducken of a romance novel. Like, you put something delicious inside something that was already delicious. Like, I'm here. And I'm here for these two authors in collaboration. I've really enjoyed Julie Murphy's adult romances as well as her YA and, Sierra Simone. Like, everybody knows Sierra Simone, right? So I'm pretty jazzed about this one.
Me too. I am very excited to read it. I am very jealous about your print galley.
Right?
Even though it's out. It's out and I haven't read it. But, you know, the fact that you were able to hold on to it that far in advance. You know?
Yeah, it's exciting. And then my other Christmas one is Royal Holiday by Jasmine Guillory, which, Jess, talk about like starting reading things and then getting distracted. I started reading this like probably well over a year ago for a Get Booked episode. I mean, it came out in like 2019, but mm-hmm. I just love the premise so much, and I had to put it down because then I had to read other books for podcasts. But this is a like older woman romance. She's like Vivian Force is a grown woman who's a grown daughter is working in England, and she's like the daughter is a fashion stylist, and she's getting to style a royal family member. So mm-hmm. Vivian gets to go out and like spend the holidays with her daughter in England for the first time ever. And she meets this like sexy private secretary who works for the Queen, and they're like, you know, a black couple in like Buckingham Palace having like a holiday fling, like step. I love it. I love everything about it. Like, I cannot wait to pick it back up, even though it's like 3 years after I first picked it up. Still, it hasn't, you know, it's not like, it's just waiting for me.
It's waiting for you. Better late than never.
Yeah.
Always. That's a delightful pair. Like, I am very excited about Merry Little Me Cute.
Yeah.
And it's the first of many pink books that I'm going to be reading, because
yes,
there are so many pink books right now, and they're mm-hmm. all like that weird millennial pink. one of which is Season of Love by Helena Greer. And this one caught my attention because, well, the cover is delightful, but the main character is Jewish, but her family owns a Christmas tree farm. And she inherits it after partially inherits it. Like, her generation inherits it after a family member dies. And she has to go back and, like, you know, make amends with come to terms with her own relationship with her family and, like, all this other stuff. So there's a lot of family drama that also comes with holiday times. And there is also the farm's manager who just wants her to leave. so obviously those two have to fall in love because that's how it works. So I'm really excited for that one. I have my copy. It's staring at me. And hopefully I will read it before December 31st of this year.
Yes. Yes. Support. Well, the timing of this recording is nice for my next pick, because Diwali was yesterday. And mm-hmm. so I have on my list, it's a Diwali Christmas combo. It's A Holly Jolly Diwali by Sonia Lali. Boy, that's like, it's so like, it just rhymes. The whole thing rhymes. That's amazing.
That was perfect.
I didn't set it all out loud before this very moment. It's delightful. And I have been lucky enough to go to some Diwali celebrations, thanks to my very good friend, Preeti Chibber. So like, I have, you know, a little bit of familiarity with the Festival of Lights. It's wonderful. And I was so excited to find this romance when I was doing research for the show. This came out last year. So it's a little newer than some of my other picks, but still not brand new. But that just means it's out already, y'all. Like, it's already there for you. And I love me a type A heroine, and that's what we have here. Nikki is like, you know, about to turn 30, like very practical, like, you know, became an analyst for the stability, very close to home, all of that jazz. And she gets laid off. And so what better time to like do something impulsive? And she books a last minute flight to go to her friend's wedding in Goa or in Mumbai. Where do they start out? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Mumbai. She goes to Mumbai. And it's just in time also for Diwali. And, you know, she meets somebody at the wedding, like sparks fly and like things unroll from there. And I cannot wait to read this book. I loved, what's Sonia Lali's other book that I loved so much that I've recommended many a time? Serena Singh Flips the Script. I loved Serena Singh Flips the Script. So this is not my first Lali, and I'm excited to read another one.
I really should read a Diwali book, because
yeah,
that, like, they sound so fun.
Yeah.
Super I used fun. To, like, there was enough of a South Asian population in my college that Diwali was, like, the biggest cultural celebration.
Aw, that's awesome.
So there would be, like, this big, huge, like, performance thing. Like,
yeah.
A few hours long with, like, a script and, you know, dance performances in Ooh. Between. And it was just so great. And I learned a lot about Diwali. Yes. Over 4 years, but I have never picked up I feel like there's another Diwali romance, or at least one that has like some Diwali happenings, and I need to go look that up too, because I remember seeing that and then I forgot. Yeah, so speaking of books that you've had for a while that you've been meaning to get back to, Amour actually is a book I, like, pre-ordered the print book. I was so excited to read it, and then it just sat on my shelf for a year. And if the title doesn't indicate, it's a series of interlocking stories written by, and get ready for it, Zoe Castile, Alexis Daria, Adriana Herrera, Diana Munoz-Stewart, Priscilla Oliveira, Sabrina Sol, and Mia Sosa.
Oh my god.
I was so excited, and then I need to own this. Right? So, the big thing on the back of the book, I can't remember what it's called because I don't remember words today, is Noche Buena, One Party, Nine Happily Ever Afters. You want to read this book, and I am so excited to read it. I'm going to do it this year.
Nice.
I am challenging myself to actually read it this year.
I believe in you.
Oh, thanks.
I'm supporting you in this endeavor. Let's see. Oh, I managed to find one that, thanks to one of our other contributors, Jamie Herndon, pointing me at this one. And I was like, well, this looks great because it's like all winter holidays. It takes place like right after Hanukkah has ended, Christmas and then New Year's Eve are happening. It is called How to Excavate a Heart by Jake Maya Arlo, who is a new author for me. The publisher is pitching it as Kelly Quinlan meets Casey McQuiston, which is an interesting pitch. And it is a sapphic Jewish love story. It's enemies to lovers. Love it. I think it's technically new adult because it's college freshman situation. Mm. Yeah. And it's, you know, Shani almost like runs over May, which is, you know, that's a meet cute right there.
Yeah, right.
of a sort. And they get snowed in together after like a series of mishaps. And yeah, it's like, you know, recovery from being dumped, winter fling. Like, I love the sound of this. It sounds really enjoyable. Also, the cover, not for nothing, has like an adorable, looks like a corgi to me on it. And I'm here for a dog in a romance novel. So
always
pretty excited about this one. So again, that's How to Excavate a Heart by Jake Maya Arlo.
And I'm going to immediately apologize for the earworm you're about to have, because one book I am incredibly excited for is You're a Mean One, Matthew Prince by Timothy Janowski. And like, how can you not be excited for a green book called You're a Mean One, Matthew Prince?
It's like, really good.
It's so good. And it's about, you know, a spoiled rich kid who sort of gets sent off into his grandmother's house, small town, thinks he knows better than everyone, and of course gets into the holiday spirit because the small town is getting into the holiday spirit. And it's like, I'm so excited for this one. It sounds delightful. I really liked Timothy Janowski's first book, Never Been Kissed. So I hope to get the same thrill from this one.
Yeah, nice. Love it. Love it. My last one is on my list, and it's all your fault, because we were talking about, of course, inevitably, as part of the research, and by research, I mean asking other romance readers in the Book Riot Slack. I was, just dropped this in here, and I was like, well, I can't not put this on my list now. Because, so first of all, it's a New Year's Eve novel. I have mixed feelings about New Year's Eve. I've had some terrible New Year's Eves, and I've had some amazing New Year's Eves. And honestly, the amazing ones were not the ones where I went out. They were the ones where, like, my friend and I, like, you know, prepped our bullet journals for the next year and watched, like, all of the Star Wars movies. Like, those are, it turns out. Although last year's was pretty good, actually. We played board games with our neighbor, and then the whole street, like, came outside with, like, pots and pans and noisemakers at midnight and just, like, ran around the street, like, making noise. And I was like, this is delightful. So, like, I have discovered that I need to stay in for New Year's Eve and not go out. It's just, this is, like, my best life is to not go out for New Year's Eve. But I cannot get over the title of this one. It's Grand Theft New Year's Eve, or NYE, by Katrina Jackson. And it's the first in a series that is called Heist Holidays. Like, stop it. Just stop it. This is amazing.
And have so much fun.
Oh my gosh. I can't. It sounds like a total blast. I don't think I've read Katrina Jackson before, but I know I've heard her name through the romance grapevine. So, like, what better way to start than, like, a fast car champagne, like, New Year's Eve fling that turns into, like, a heist situation? Like, stop it. I'm so ready for this book.
I'm so excited for you.
Yes.
Like, I can't even follow that up.
Like, did I break you?
You broke me. I wanna finish off with that, because all right, that is the best way for everyone else to finish off their time with us today, is Grand Theft New Year's Eve.
Such a good, like, the number of hours that I watched my brother play Grand Theft Auto is not small. So, and my love for the Fast and Furious franchise is on record, and so, like, I feel like this is combining so many things that I'm excited about.
This is meant for you. This
it's
book
meant
is meant
for me.
You.
She wrote it for me.
Oh man. So yes, that's the perfect place to stop, especially because we have not yet gone too long, which is amazing.
That is a miracle. It's a holiday miracle.
It's a holiday miracle. So let's take advantage of that and thank everyone for listening, and tell us what your favorite holiday romances are, especially if they are not set during winter holidays. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you think about Christmas, especially the massive number of Christmas books that come out at the same time as those Christmas movies. What holiday books you're excited to read, and what holiday books you want us to read.
Yes.
Because there's nothing like adding things to our overflowing TBRs.
We love a challenge.
Yes. Yes, we do. Thank you so much to our audio editor, Jen Zink. If you're listening to this and it doesn't sound like some people having some trouble, it's Jen. She did that. Thank you, Jen Northington, for being here. It's always exciting to talk to you, especially about romance.
I love it.
Glad that you got to join us. For those of you listening, if you haven't yet, please rate and review this show. It helps other people find us, and it helps us make it better. And for everything that you want to tell us, you can always email wininromance@bookriot.com or find us on the socials. Jen, where can they find you?
Yeah, I am on Twitter and Tumblr as Jen IRL, JennIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And my presence is very sporadic, fair warning.
Whereas I live on Twitter, Jess is reading all one word, and on Instagram at Jess_is_reading. We hope you enjoyed this discussion of every holiday in existence on the planet. And in the meantime, happy reading.
Happy reading.